Yeah, 1 Peter 1. Let me just pray for us, God. I just pray that the things that you want us to see and hear right now from your word would be highlighted, that God, you would speak and feed us. We know, Lord, that you desire for us to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And even in a time where people are feeding on all sorts of wars, rumors of things and reports and whatever, a lot of people are listening to the frequency of the prince and the power of the air. But we are now listening to the Spirit of the living God as he inspired Peter to write this epistle. So, Lord, we are listening to whatever you want to say from your word. All right? In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to read, and let me just jump down. Blessed be on verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for by his great mercy he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is into an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are protected through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So again, you know, here we are in this time of incredible turmoil and people believing the words of the prophets, not believing what's going to happen. What's going to happen if the globalists get it back into power? How's that going to affect the world? How's it going to affect the handling of this coronavirus that continues on in this conspiratorial way? And all of it, right? And the apostle says, don't forget that if you're a follower of Jesus, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nothing can take away what you have eternally. That is something that every Christian should have their life anchored to. Every book of the Bible talks about this, especially every New Testament book. The very end of Revelation talks about, and those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. When your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when you've been brought into God's family and you are his, you have an inheritance which is imperishable, regardless of what happens to the stock market or your savings or your job or whatever. Everybody is building things in this world. And the apostle says, you have an inheritance that cannot be destroyed. Amen. We have to always remember that. That is like, whenever we think about anything from the kingdom, we recognize that our identity is that we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We literally were transferred into a new kingdom. We were given a new nature. We were, our identity changed to become sons and daughters of God. It's a designation you only find in the New Testament when referring to the daughters, sons and daughters of Adam. In the Old Testament, we're called different things, but only angels are called sons of God. But in the New Testament, almost every reference to the sons of God is a reference to us and our inheritance in the kingdom. So I go on. There's reserved in heaven for you who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation. It's very interesting. Who protects us? We are protected by God's power.
Mm. That's cool.
It's pretty awesome. This brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. I mean, even in this room, some of us are in trials right now. I mean, there are trials that we are facing. There are trials that people in our community are facing, right? But even in spite of trials, Jesus said in this world, you know, you will have tribulation, right? So we know that. I mean, we just look at church history. We look at how did it all work out for the 12 apostles? We all know their stories. 11 out of 12 that Jesus chose were martyred for their faith. 11 out of 12. You know, so this idea that following Jesus in this world just means ease and comfort. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's what some extreme Bible teachers might teach. But in the middle of all that, there's great joy. Why is there great joy? It's linked back to this inheritance, right? Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. Joy is dependent upon something else. Yes. We're after joy.
Amen.
Listen, happiness is part, we can, you know, today is a sad day. I got a message from a good friend in Lebanon who just lost his wife to cancer. She died last night. I got another message today on my social media from my colleague, one of my close colleagues, a Kuwaiti, whose mother's been battling, and she lost her life last night. She died, I think, this morning in a hospital here. So today, one is a believer, one is not. Today, however, my friend who is a believer, my Lebanese friend, even though he's not happy today, there's still a joy because, one, his wife is with Jesus and he knows that, and two, he belongs to Jesus. And that trumps circumstances. Now, that might not be the kind of faith many of us currently have, but that is the kind of faith that God wants to build into his people.
Amen, yes.
That is the kind of faith that we need to have going forward. You know, it's very interesting. God help me, I'm going to mention lifestyle and fitness again. But one of the doctors, he's an Armenian in America, and he has a very Armenian name, you know, I-A-N ends. Anyway, his first name is Tro. He's a very interesting guy. And I don't know how Christian he is. I mean, he talks, you know, by name he's Christian. But it's very, very interesting. He said, well, here's the fact. COVID ain't going away. The vaccine's not going to work for everybody. Probably in the end, everybody's going to get it just because it's in the population. So you know what he said? So in light of that fact, of course, we're not going to get it because we have a promise. But in light, this is what he said. In light of the fact that everybody's probably going to get corona in the years to come, do something about your health and fitness so that when you get it, you recover without a problem. But see, people aren't doing that. I just want a vaccine. I just need a shot. I need a pharmaceutical, you know, but they're not willing to change their lives. We have principles in the Word of God, how to live so that we can endure. But many Christians are not living that life. They go to conferences. They want the Benny Hinn or the latest prophet, or I just need a word, or I just need somebody to lay hands on me. But they do not train themselves in godliness. That's what the Bible says. Train yourselves in godliness. How are these five senses trained in Hebrews chapter 12? Verse 14, it says, those who become mature, how? Because they've had their five senses trained through constant practice and use. We need to train ourselves in righteousness in this world.
Amen.
Right? Anyway, look at this. Verse 7, such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold, gold that is tested by fire, even though it is passing away. Again, you see here in the book of 1 Peter, you see the context of a faith that is forged in trial and issues. Natalie and I are talking about that this week. Do you know? James says it, the right before I read Peter, I read it in James, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Guess what doesn't produce endurance? The non-testing of your faith. We don't like that. It's like, God, I want endurance. I don't want to be tested. I don't want to have to exercise faith. I don't want to have to believe that all of the prophets that we in this room respect and honor have prophesied that President Donald Trump will be reelected and he will be sworn in for a second term in January. And yet millions of Christians around the world are conceding to what the fake news media, which Jeremiah Johnson calls, what does he call the fake news? He calls the fake news the false prophets of Baal. And so, CNN said it, BBC said it, the Washington Times said it, the New York Times said it, therefore I believe it. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. I mean, Cornish.
We were singing that in the
this week.
Corniest song ever written. Corniest song ever written by a Christian.
It's so catchy.
It's so corny. But there's truth there, you know?
Whose
report are we going to believe? And I said it. Up until the election, we needed to exercise faith. After the election, we needed to exercise extra faith. And after the 8th of December, between the 8th and the 14th, is when they're going to elect the next president. And when they elect the wrong person, after that election, because if they just keep on with the voter fraud, they will elect Joe Biden on the 8th. And then who will believe after that? Who will believe it will take extraordinary faith between December 8th and December 20th? And I want to tell you right now, I don't know where people are going to be. I don't know where you're at today. I'm a believer, and I want to tell you right now, it could be that the herd gets thinned. Dave, come on. You're making a fool out of yourself. They've reported it. I'll tell you. I mean, somebody pointed it out today. Lance Wallnau was losing heart, and then he got rebuked by somebody. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to believe. Like, we have to contend to believe. Whose report will you believe? But you know, do you know that once the Electoral College makes a decision, the vice president currently has to validate or whatever the word is, the decision of the Electoral College. Mm. And then people are going to be like, wait, Mike Pence is a Christian and he's the vice president and he has affirmed. Whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to still believe the prophets?
Yes.
Or are people going to abandon?
No.
It's not. Listen. Listen. When I read the book of 1 Peter, I see a bunch of Christians that actually believed that this faith that we have was real.
Amen.
And what we're seeing in this hour, when did you become the Pentecostal lady?
I've always been.
Glory. Anyway. So I want to say that, you know what? Where is our faith going to grow? It's going to grow in the forging. When our faith is tested, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Our faith right now is being tested. If you are a Lebanese Christian and you're looking at Lebanon over the last year, 12 to 14 months, if this tests the faith of Lebanese Christians, there's promises. Unlike America, America's not mentioned. Now some people try to do the stretch. America's not even mentioned in the Bible. There are no promises directly for America in the Bible. Now, there are promises for people living in America because there's promises in God's word for believers and there's believers for the church. They live in America. So yes, there are promises for people in America. But Lebanon has promises for their nation.
In the Bible.
There are promises yet to be fulfilled for Lebanon in the Bible. So, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But we live in such an immediate culture. I mean, I'm even arguing with the Lord. It's like, Lord, come on. I don't want to wait. I don't want to be in this place of like, I don't want to be like on the treadmill spiritually until the 20th of January. I'm like ready to relax and, you know, part of me is like in my flesh. I'm like ready to like start bashing Never Trumpers and Democrats, you know, like, ah, blah, 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 you know, I'm like, you know, I'm, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, and maybe like the Lord's kind of saying to me, it's like, you know, probably the reason I'm delaying this is you got it all wrong. This ain't about you, Dave. It ain't about you and what you've been saying and where you've been. And it's not about vindicating you. God wants to vindicate his cause.
Come on.
God wants to vindicate his purposes.
Yes.
God wants to vindicate righteousness. God wants to stop the slaughter of babies.
Yes.
God wants to stop the spread of global socialism / communism / totalitarianism. God wants to stop human trafficking. And the only way that that's going to happen right now in this world is with the re-election of President Donald Trump.
That's right.
I tell you right now, there are, now, may God in his mercy raise up a Polish leader or raise up, but right now, let's just face it, geopolitically, right now, if this administration is taken out of power, there is no check or balance against the spread of these things. China takes over and all of their godless propaganda. This is a global battle that affects all of our nations. You know, and God bless my friends from Australia and from India and from Europe and from Africa and from South America that understand what's really going on. Because half of the people in my country are listening to the false prophets of Baal. And their fear is rising up, right? I don't want to look like a fool anymore. I don't want to be called a hater anymore. Okay, you know what? You signed up for the wrong faith, brothers and sisters.
Totally.
This is a faith that is forged in fire. And I want to tell you right now, we American Christians, we don't know a lot about the testing of our faith. We don't.
That's right.
We do not. And so the Lord's like, you know, let me get out my little heavenly violin and sing to you about why it's so difficult to wait 2 months. Can you stay in a battle for 2 months? Can we?
Yes.
Can we say, you know what, God, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray until, seek the Lord until he comes. Not seek the Lord if he comes. Not try to find a way, whatever. Anyway, I have shut off more. And anybody that starts to lose faith, anybody that's walking away, I'll try to encourage that person, but I won't listen to them. I'm like, I turned on the press conference. And I heard all of the truth, right? And guess what I did after the press conference? Turn it off. I don't want to hear any of the lying CNN, MSNBC, none of these lying reporters that are just hissing. They're demonized. I don't want to hear. And I heard their questions, and then I heard Trump's lawyers completely manhandle them. Two of them are born again, spirit-filled Christians, Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis, and there's others. Jay Sekulow,
yes, awesome.
Evangelicals, and Jay Sekulow, and others. Lynn Wood, this lawyer out of Georgia, he just publicly came out and said Trump won over 400 electoral votes in the election, right? And guess what? What did the Lord, do you remember what I told you guys? The Lord told me it's 412. Everybody laughed. Oh, Dave's missing it. Dave's smoking little prophetic drugs. And look, where are we today? We're listening to the voice of our shepherd.
Come on.
God is speaking to us the same thing he's speaking. Listen, the only difference, to be honest, guys, the only difference between a prophetic people and people that are functioning in the office of prophet is platform. The revelation is the same.
Yeah.
The God that we have relationship with is the same. We are getting dreams. We are getting visions. We are hearing the voice of God. We have people in our little group here that are getting high-level prophetic dreams. So do we have the platform that the Sean Bulls and the Kevin Zedis and the Kat Kerrs and the Lana Vossers have? No, God has given them a platform. He's speaking to us the same thing he's speaking to them.
Yep.
We are a prophetic people.
Amen.
And God speaks to his people.
Yes.
We don't rely. Now, I build myself up. I'm listening to these prophets to encourage my faith. But even today, I almost had to shut off Lance Wallnau because his whole video today is, I have a confession to make. He was losing heart. He's listening to, there's almost no chance, he's listening to these reporters. There's almost no chance that this could turn around and da-da-da. And it's already, and he's like, what am I doing? And he heard in a prayer meeting some prophetic voice. And he's like, what am I doing? I'm listening to the false prophet of Baal.
Wow.
Are we going to encourage ourselves? Are we going to believe? Are
yes.
we going to? I want to end up after this thing is over with the biggest faith muscles I've ever
Come
had.
Come on.
Amen.
Who's going to believe? I don't care at the end of the day how many people. Believe me, the herd will be thinned. There's a lot of people right now. Kumbaya, my Lord, you know, when it's all good, and you know, when there's big rallies and the people are and the big conference. But when there's five people left, who's gonna pray this through?
Me.
Thank you.
Something like that, the old
thing. Taking you seriously.
Mickey Mouse Club.
I just realized he took it off. I'm like, I'm the only one in the room.
Well, look at this. Look at this. Gold that is tested by fire. That is what's happening in a small way. Listen, this is nothing like what Christians in Iran have to face every day, or Nigerian Christians, or Sudanese Christians. It's even embarrassing.
Or Elena during communism.
Yeah, during communism, or anybody that's really suffered. You know, we have...
Catholicism.
Yeah. What this is it's like first world persecution, first world problems, you know, the whole first world problems. Anyway, so... We'll bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You have not seen him, but you love him. You do not see him now, but you believe in him. So you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy because you are attaining the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who predicted, verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who predicted the grace that would come to you searched and investigated carefully. They probed into what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified beforehand about these sufferings appointed for Christ and his subsequent glory. They were shown that they were serving not themselves but you in regard to the things now announced to you through those who proclaim the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things angels long to catch a glimpse of. Therefore, get your minds ready for action.
Yes.
By being fully sober and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So even as we look for the return of Jesus and we pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come quickly, and he will come one day. But what is it? God is expecting his people to be sober, alert, awake. How many people in this hour are asleep? They're drunk in a spirit. They're being, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? That's what the scripture says. How many people right now are asleep, or they're not sober-minded, or they're not awake? How can we hear what God is saying if we're in a place of spiritual dullness? If anything, Corona should have sharpened the edge of our swords. But you know, many people, they might have done a little short sword sharpening for a few months because, of course, prophets were saying, oh, it's all going to be over in a couple of weeks. Anyway, but so they were sharpening their swords for a couple of months, couple of weeks, whatever. Are we going to continue to stay in a place of sobriety? Are we going to continue to stay in a place of being awake? And how should we set our hope? Completely on the grace. You know, a lot of people, they're hedging their bets. I'll continue to have my spiritual fire insurance. I'm going to have one foot in the kingdom, and I'll have one foot in my 401k or my retirement plan or whatever else. Do you realize how many Christians right now are hedging their bets? What does it look like to have our hope completely focused on the grace that God will give? Being all in right now in this hour. You see, my theory, it's not my theory, it's a biblical truth, but when problems come, a faith that is half-hearted will not allow people to stand. That's why so many people have and will fall away at the end of the age, because they weren't all in on the sign-up. They weren't all in. They didn't die with Christ. Don't you know that those who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Don't you know that the life we now live, we live in faith in the Son of God who gave himself up? We sing these songs, you know, I surrender all or whatever. But the worship song is great. But you have to ask yourself, how many people in this room even mean? Have you ever been convicted when you're singing a worship song and you're like, I think I only about half believe this?
Right.
All to Jesus I surrender. I kind of like the tithing message. That's 10%. You know, Old Testament tithe, New Testament, I surrender all. Start with the tithe and go from there. It starts with the tithe. But we are fully surrendered to Jesus. I don't believe that the half-level commitment or the I'm 30% committed, that's not making it this year. Nope. We have seen some great people, people that we love, people that we know in this country and outside of this country. We have seen people that have ended up being casualties in 2020. Many, many of our friends, even we were referencing one of our friends on social media, completely captive and deceived by the false prophets of Baal in this hour. And yet, a few short years ago, here she was with us, in the fight with us, with one spirit with us. Where is she today? There's so many that have been sucked away in different directions for different reasons. There's not one reason. You know, God was trying to purify his bride and get stuff dealt with, because any area of darkness in our life, the enemy has just put a full assault on.
Yep, yep.
And look, if we don't deal with our fears, if we've got a little area of fear, a little stronghold of fear, and we just kind of keep that compartmentalized, in 2020, the devil went into the compartment. Yep. and just ripped it apart, and we have seen people. And yet I think of a friend of mine who was gripped by fear, living in Australia. He's an American, and he'll probably hear this podcast. I'm so proud of this friend of mine. He's a college professor in America. He was in Australia, and he was on a trip to Indonesia, a mission trip, when COVID hit. And he was gripped with fear. And he's talking to me every day on the phone. I don't know, should I get out of here? What? He was that close, because Indonesia shut down. He would have never been able to get back into Australia. He was a level of fear I've never seen, but he was so honest, just walking in humility. And like, we'd get on the phone and talk for 2 hours on WhatsApp, whatever. And he was so honest. And then he went back to Australia, and Australia became lockdown central, fear mongering, can't travel, whatever. And he told me, and he's hearing what's going to go on in America, seeing the riots, and of course it's coming on the news. Should I go back to America? I said, get back to America yesterday. He's back in America. He's teaching. I took him out during the revivals in the summer. He's completely delivered from all the fear.
Wow.
And now he's ministering to another friend of ours on the East Coast who's gripped with anxiety and depression right now. He got set free. So in this hour, we are seeing heroes,
yes,
who are overcoming and rising up. And God bless. I just want to honor Natalie, because I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for the word that the Lord gave her last in 2019, I don't know where we would have been with COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know where our community would be today.
Yeah.
I know we would not be. Listen, I feel like we've been cheating. Like when I see how all these people are living and... Oh, what? You're not wearing a mask? What? You're not self, you know, or even our family, you know, you're not, wait, you just came from, you're not self, no, you know, what do you mean you snuck out during your quarantine? I did. I went to the gym. And guess what? I want to tell you, when we come back from America and they put me under quarantine again, this guy's going to the gym. I now know how they quarantine. I just put it out there. They won't call me until 10 a.m. So I need to be working out before that. Yes. Yes. I'm not afraid of stupid COVID and your quarantines. Anyway, so I'm going to be at the gym. Listen, and the only reason I wouldn't be caring about it even after that is because I'm too cheap to pay the, I don't want to pay the $200 KD fine if they catch me. But I know when they come to catch you, and guess what? They don't try to catch you before 10 a.m. So, guess what? God wants us to train in the natural. So, you know, I don't want to sin in that way. So I go to the gym. Anyway, so before that. So I think I might almost be done here. Let me just see what else I've got here. So we just got to finish. I get on these little bunny trails, these little rabbit trails. But sometimes the Lord's in the rabbit trail.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's not, I have to admit.
True.
Sometimes I start wandering down something and later on I wish I should just...
No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. I wouldn't say demonic, but anyway. I've only mentioned health and fitness twice in this podcast. Anyway, so listen to this. So they were shown that they were serving not themselves but you in regard to the things now announced to you through this through those who proclaim the gospel. Therefore, get your minds ready for action. I was here. Sorry. Verse 13. By being fully sober and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Like obedient children. So anybody that tells you that obedience is not a part of the Christian life is a liar. Obedience is a huge part of the message of the apostles. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Those that do not obey Jesus do not love him. Just read the book of 1 John. So this idea that being saved by grace means that obedience doesn't play a role. Yes, we're saved by grace and then we obey. And giving your life to Jesus is your first act of obedience. And then we live an obedient life subsequently. Now, there's a lot of that in the body of Christ right now. People cheapening the message, people trying to minimize the importance of obedience. I'll tell you right now, you know the reason obedience is so important? It's because he who sins becomes a slave to sin. Anybody know any believers that got saved and got free and then they got entangled back in their sin, whatever their sin is, name the sin, and they became enslaved again to the very sin that they were enslaved to? Anybody know anybody like that? I just know what, like 5,000? Anyway, we all know people like that. We have been set free to live an obedient life, to live a life, amen, finally to live a life that God finds acceptable.
Yes.
Finally, we can live a life of freedom, not a life of perfection, but a life that pleases God, right? So, as obedient children, do not comply with the evil urges you used to follow in your ignorance. Why would he write to believers, don't comply with those evil urges that you once used to follow if it was impossible to give in to those evil urges? Right? We have a new nature. We are no longer identified as sinners. Yes. We are saints. We have a new identity. Yes. However, there is an enemy of our souls who will bring those evil urges back. I'll tell you right now, you know, there have been some evil urges in me in these days. I want to heap hot coals on people right now that are in darkness and deceit. And yet I'm reminded that the anger of man does not fulfill the righteousness of God. There is a be angry and yet sin not. Yeah. I don't know sometimes the difference between the anger of man that does not fulfill the purposes and the righteousness of God and be angry and yet sin not. So the Spirit's kind of helping me out.
When you want to do this, you know, maybe it's not.
Yeah, like when I want to go, man, like that. When I want to do that. When there's something about in me about wanting to like...
In your face!
You know, whatever. Come on. Some of these people are so obnoxious right now. And they're mocking our faith. They're mocking our prophets.
That's right.
Oh, where's your prophets now? Oh, how many of the Trump prophecies? I'm like, watch out. I'm reading Jeremiah right now. Do you know how many people God kills in the book of Jeremiah? God! This idea, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and for evil. Yes, forever. Forever. Yeah. Whoa. Yes. Jesus' name. Listen. Jesus is the same yesterday. Jesus was on the throne. Second person Trinity in book of Jeremiah. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't think that Jesus will do that, just go back and read the book of Revelation. Just kind of get into Revelation 12, 13, 14. You're going to read about something called the wrath of the Lamb. It's poured out. Okay? It makes Jeremiah look like a little hand slap. A little king comes in, takes over Jerusalem, and there's going to be some people that die. Right? Nothing. like what we see at the end of the age when the judgment of God. What is it that John the Baptist had a message. And you know what his message was? Flee the wrath that is to come. There will come a day when everything is made right. Every justice, the justice of God. God is a holy God. And we know what the end says. There is a righteous God. He has never changed. And yet, the same Jeremiah that talks about, that's why we read all of our Bible. We don't just read, hey, I've got my little Bible where I like to cherry pick all the nice verses, you know, where we just kind of sit there and, you know, right in the middle of Jeremiah, you've got this, and then all of a sudden, Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, right? As he's watching Jerusalem has been run over and destroyed. God's people are now taken. They're being taken into captivity. That captivity is going to last 70 years. And they were given instructions. I mean, I'm just like a little bit rebuked. The prophet's speaking about, hey, by the way, 70 years, you're going to be in this situation for 70 years. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm having a real hard time and going till January 20th. And Jeremiah's like, 70 years I got, guy. Little Dave there and little 2020 Christian. I gave the year. I had to give the word 70 years. Get used to it, people of God. And then God's going to restore it all. And he's going to bring them back to the city. And he's going to restore their fortunes. And he's going to restore the temple. And the nations are going to look at the blessing of God on your life. Could you imagine getting a promise? Hey, by the way, you're going to be under judgment. Tons of your people are going to get killed. Your city's going to get ransacked. And a pagan, godless worshiper of a pagan god is going to win the day. And the whole world's going to see that you're mocked. And you're going to suffer for 70 years under that situation. And then you're going to get it all back. Can you imagine? No wonder they hated the guy so much. I kind of like those prophecies that say, Elena, I just see millions of dollars coming. Millions of dollars in the bank account, inheritances, and tomorrow. That you want tomorrow. Jeremiah got all of that. And 70 years from now, and Elena's like, wait a second, I'm going to be dead. Wait. Time out. You mean like my son gets that? Wait, how old's your son? 19. Yeah. So my son gets that when he's 80. In 50 years, when he's 80? That I'm supposed to get encouraged by that? I'm reading Jeremiah, guys. Read Jeremiah, get balance. You know what's nice about Jeremiah? Is I'll tell you right now. God doesn't like it when his people don't follow him wholeheartedly. Yeah. Wow. So I'm getting schooled in Jeremiah. Like, am I going to believe the prophets? Am I going to believe in this hour? Am I going to stand against? He doesn't like all these people that are giving in to the spirit of the age. Mm-hmm. And it's happening left, right, and center. And then I'll end it with this. Because many people are cowards. They're cowardly. They're not being brave. They're not standing up in belief. They're not standing up and being counted. You know what it says about Moses? It says he would rather endure hardship with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It's a great verse in the book of Hebrews. But here's the thing. Rick Joyner, I heard him this week or last week talking with Lance Wallnau. And he was talking about this thing of cowardice. And he said, do you know who's thrown into the lake of fire first? The cowards. Yikes. Not even the devil and his angels. That was his point. You get thrown in afterwards. The cowards. There's something in this hour where God is looking for people that are going to be bold as lions.
Come on.
He wants to baptize us with fearlessness.
Yes.
You know, I have to say this. I was so encouraged looking at these two women who are born again Christians standing there and saying to the prophets of Baal on television last night and saying, you, and I mean, I know as Christians, they wanted to say God is going to vindicate his cause. But they, you know, they're on national television and they're kind of being whatever. But they were saying, your lies have been exposed. And I'm looking at these two women and I said, They're doing this for the cause of righteousness and the cause of truth and the cause of my country. And I looked at those two fearless women and I said, half of the congressmen in my country that are Republicans are cowards running away from this president right now, running away from what they know. And they're like, what if we can't prove it? We have to think about our careers. We have to think about what if they're going to come after us? And two women.
Yeah.
Two women. Well, and a man, but two Christian women are standing up to the false prophets of Baal. And you know what? I'm looking at them going, I want to stand with them.
Amen.
I am so impressed. Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell. I'm going to end by just praying for them and honoring them.
Amen.
So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for women like this. And I know, God, it's not about America, because there are women like that in India. There are women like that in Africa. There are women like that in Europe. There are women like that in South America. There are women like that all over the world. There's been women like that throughout all of church history. And I thank you for each and every one of them. But I thank you in 2020 that we have two very bold examples of women that are standing up for truth. They're standing up for righteousness. They're standing up for the purposes of God in this hour. And many people don't even know about their faith. They don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. But I saw in those women righteous indignation. I saw in them the fire of God. I saw in them the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then Jenna Ellis came on. Thank you, God, for what she did to protect Pastor John MacArthur's church in California. Mm. And thank you for that woman. Thank you for what she's doing. But she's a fearless litigator. She's a fearless woman of God. And she does what she does because she has Jesus as the Lord of her life.
Yes.
Would you protect their lives?
Yes.
Would you put a hedge of protection around them? Would you protect their lives from assassination attempts, from the attempts to silence their voices, to intimidate them, to threaten their families, all the stuff that could take us out.
Yes.
I can't even imagine what would happen if they started threatening to hurt my kids. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for these women, and I bless them. And I thank you, Lord, for this company of people that believe.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.